This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Thursday the 31st of December. And it's finally here, guys. It's the last day of 2020, or the last working day. Even, actually, no, the last day. Tomorrow's the 1st of January. I know, it's been a long year. How are you feeling?
Good, hopeful, maybe. I don't know. See how quickly I started doubting myself. The minute I said hopeful, the little voice in my head was saying, "You sure about that? Are you sure?" But yeah, no. Good day. It's a really cool, cold day out here.
Well, I'm wearing a jacket. It's 6 in the morning. So.
Yeah, but even for 6 in the morning, it's really cold. Perfect weather for sleeping
in. It feels the same to me.
Oh, what does that say about me? Am I nervous about the new year?
Feeling a little bit of a chill? Is it a bit of foreboding?
Okay, get your temperature checked.
How are you, Noel?
I'm feeling okay. I think a bit nostalgic. I feel like, oh no, the year is going. What's going to be happening next year? It almost feels it's more uncertain next year.
Yeah, because I think so many hopes have been pinned on 2021, right? As the restart almost, because 2020 has been the year where realistically most of us have spent a lot of it at home because we can't travel. A lot of us are working from home. So it may seem as if it's gone by really quickly and that you might not have done a lot during this year. But hey, you know what? I think everyone deserves a round of applause for coming through 2020 as well as we have. And hey, 2021, I think there is still a lot to look forward to. And that is one of the things that we're going to be talking about in this next hour or so. But let's just take a look at the 6:30. What international stories do we have on our agenda?
Well, it's the last day of the year and we need to talk about what has been the most defining moments, which is about COVID-19. So all the news we're going to have here is about the vaccine, the coronavirus, what's happening next.
All right. And then towards the end of the hour, we always take a look at the local papers and portals to keep you up to date on what's happening in the country before we deep dive during 7 to 8. But right now, in about 15 minutes though, we'll be talking about online courses and taking a look at some of the Coursera data that's out there about what's popular and what's not, and maybe what you're into.
So if you want to weigh in on these conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we are asking you, what are you looking forward to in 2021? So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Touch of Grey by The War on Drugs, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. So as we stand on the cusp of the new year, we're looking at some articles talking about, you know, what perhaps we might be looking forward to as we head into 2021. Because 2020, it seems like everything was so consumed by COVID-19 and the search for a vaccine that other news, some of which is very exciting moving forward, kind of got overshadowed. And The Guardian has a good example of this, talking about, you know, aside from the COVID-19 vaccinations, there have also been huge strides made in the search for a vaccine for HIV. So that's something that they're hoping to see more trials and more data coming out of in the new year. Because, you know, HIV prevention, I think, is an area where many people have been working tirelessly for a long time since the outbreaks, especially in the 70s and 80s. So it's good to see that some strides are being made on this front.
Yeah, so I think on my part, I'm still very much about the whole COVID-19 thing, right? I think for me, what I'm really hopeful about for next year, or, you know, something I'm looking forward to, is really to get the vaccine. I think that's one on my priority list. And I'm also very hopeful that now people have become more health conscious, either physically or mentally. And also the fact that workers are now being treated with more humanity, mm-hmm. especially foreign workers, right? After we've seen all that raids in rubber glove makers and probably other manufacturers soon, you know, we start to see, I think hopefully employers become more conscious and more intentional in how they take care of their workers.
I'm looking forward to a Biden presidency. I'm just being honest, straight up. That's the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this, because obviously in the ideal world, Biden would not be the top pick for the president of the United States, right? But after 4 years of what was the previous presidential thing. Yeah, that's the word I'm going to use. It's nice to see stability come back into play. That stability has come into vogue, especially after the last year that we've had, that we've all had across the world. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. I'm not saying that Biden is the greatest thing on earth, but he is definitely a more stable presence at the top of the White House there. But that doesn't mean that the volatile factor of the last 4 years is going anywhere, right? But hopefully we see that going forward. And honestly, I really do hope that Biden can help patch the widening split in the US in terms of their not just bipartisanism. Words are not coming to me this morning. Yes, thank you. That's the one. Their bipartisan natures. That's what I was going for. But it's actually bringing them together because they're very divided. And that's not to say they're the only country in the world. But unfortunately, if the US sneezes, the rest of the world feels it. And we need them to get their act together. But all said and done, I am hopeful, right? I am hopeful for 2021 because, base effect, 2020 has been severely impacted. So, anything better, even with 0.1% better, is a better year, right? But also with any kind of hope, it's important to temper it with realism. So being cautiously optimistic and I guess being hopeful, but also being prepared for in case anything gets out of whack, right? I think one thing that I'm looking at 2020 and hoping that people have learned is the importance of financial planning and being prepared in that regard. Yes, I know I'm the ring and sense guy and I talk about money all the time, but it's honestly, I see a lot of people around me being more aware of, oh, I have to keep a cash buffer because I don't know what's going to happen. For the first time, I think since 1997, people are actually realizing that jobs aren't permanent things. So these are things to just keep in mind, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is that I'm looking forward to is, of course, vaccine rollouts. So we're expecting we're expecting a COVID-19 vaccine in Malaysia. They say around March, but I think, you know, likely, I think second half of the year is probably a pretty safe bet that we'll start seeing something. At the same time, as you said, Roshan, it's important to be realistic, right? The fact that a vaccine is available doesn't mean that COVID-19 is going to disappear, but it does mean that hope is on the horizon, right? If you contrast that to the beginning of last year when we were, when we first started seeing, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic hit our shores, there was no sign of a vaccine at that point. People were hoping in March of last year that we'd have a vaccine by June, and we obviously did not, right? But we got one in the end. And I think that is important. And I think that while we wait for wider vaccine rollouts, it's also important to still maintain our social distancing. If you think about it, you've done it for this long. What's another few months, right?
Yes, actually not another few months. I think we can expect this for another 2 years, maybe with just less onerous rules. But I think for me, politics return to decency, like you mentioned, Joe Biden. And I think really in Malaysia, just less stupid politicians, right? And less or no double standards when it comes to enforcing COVID-19 SOP rules. I think on the economic front, more certainty, but I think that's going to be a pipe dream. I think we just have to go with the up and downs of the stock market. But, you know, hopefully returning to a day where, you know, our pay, you know, pre-COVID-19 pay salary, that would be great. And then on the social front, I'm hoping to make more friends. And so I signed up for this thing called Lunch Club. And this is where you meet somebody virtually. And this is apparently not a dating platform, but it's meant to meet people, serious people. And I actually met a very interesting lady in the US. And we talked a lot about mindfulness, mental health. She's a mental health practitioner, and so quite interesting. And I also have two more meetings with you know, people in technology, in the technology sector in Singapore, and also, well, I think on the technology front, I think when it comes to COVID-19, you know, faster check-in, right? Instead of having to keep whipping out our phone to do all that scanning, you know, hopefully there's some facial recognition solution.
Okay. Noah, what was that again? What's the service called?
Lunch Club.
That's interesting. I mean, it sounds like a great way to make friends, especially when you're now stuck at home a lot. Yeah.
So I need to emphasize, apparently it's not a dating platform.
But I think, Noel, you're quite a good example of the fact that, you know, when we say social and physical distancing, that doesn't actually mean that you have to stop making friends, right? So let us know what you think about this as well. What are the things that you're looking forward to in the new year? You can WhatsApp us 01878988999 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are taking a look at some online courses that have been popular over this past year next, so stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was You've Really Got a Hold on Me by The Miracles, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Rushen and Noel. 6:19 a.m. Thursday, the 31st of December. And we're looking now at this article in Fast Company that is drawing on data out of Coursera, which of course offers a lot of different online classes. And apparently the most popular class of all time on Coursera has been Yale University's online iteration of Yale University's Science of Well-Being. So where a professor explores the science-backed origins of happiness and the transformative powers of mindfulness and day-to-day rituals. So this apparently quickly became their Coursera's top performer and was the most popular course worldwide for all of 2020. Because I guess, you know, everyone stuck at home. It's like, okay, how do I now be mindful and ensure, you know, what's the science behind that happy feeling that we are all searching for this year?
And also, to be fair, it looks like Coursera is encouraging it because on their tabs, there's one here that says get started with these free courses. And the first one here, it's the Science of Well-Being, which is probably in a year that's been as volatile as it has been, this is probably something you want to explore, right? But also, let's not forget that personal development is quite a big part of, I guess, culture, right? And there were so many books, a bunch of New York Times bestsellers, personal development. And this is a thing that's been going on for a long time. I'm not surprised that it's boomed this year, especially when you put a name like Yale there and you say it's sciencey. So now I hope Yale has backed that with actual science of well-being. Noel, have you explored this course?
Yes. So I have my Coursera dashboard open here. So I did sign up for the Science of Well-Being. And in fact, I also signed up for another popular Coursera course. I think it was the Introduction to Psychology, also I think by Yale. I signed up for that. I can proudly announce I signed up for maybe about 15 courses and I managed to complete one, which is on... The other 14 courses were on neuroscience, mindfulness, psychology, psychological, I think first aid or something.
No data science,
psychiatry. None of that. That was last year. Anyway, so that one and only course that I completed was Modern and Contemporary American Poetry.
Fascinating.
Because the guy was so entertaining. So the obviously is a poet who taught that course. Mm. So he was so entertaining that I actually finished the course.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't do the assignments.
I don't know how to process the information I've received in the last 1 minute.
Ultimately, it's whatever works for you, right? We're all in a position where we are curating our own educational experiences right now. And hey, yeah, it is important to have a really good, entertaining teacher.
So one thing I've had on my, I guess, my Coursera waiting list, I haven't signed up or anything like that because I haven't committed to it. It's also a course by Yale. And no surprises, it's a course on financial markets. And I just want to I just want to do it because it would be a record, right? It'd be there. And then just kind of like a refresher of what I learned in uni. But also, there's this IBM Data Science Professional Certificate that I've had a few friends do, and they've learned quite a lot. And it's really, you know, algorithmic and all of that. And some of them, one of them, actually, this, I think, helped his CV in his next job because data science is becoming more and more of a, I guess, an attractive feature on your CV, especially now as more data is being used. And having that, this IBM certificate that I think helped him, but also, I guess he also helped himself, right, overall. But there are so many courses out there. I have this problem of, I don't know whether it's the Netflix problem. It's the doom scrolling problem, right? Just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Oh, I could do that. Oh, I could do that too. Which one do I want to do? Okay, that one I have to pay first. Okay, I won't do that first.
So
Let's look some more. So it's been a very, it's been a spoiled for choice situation, and it's been fun to see a lot of these things. But I think in 2021, one of my resolutions, one of them will be to actually start one and finish one course.
So it does not matter what it is?
Doesn't, no. And on the record today, I'm going to say that I will do the Financial Markets Yale course.
I thought you were going to say that you were going to do the American Poetry course.
Actually, I was going to suggest Mandarin.
you all have your own biases and agendas here. I don't know what's going on.
I need to have a partner to, you know, practice Mandarin.
Come, Noel, let's do it. Because, you know, this has been a thing that I've resisted so many years learning Mandarin.
That's a great idea, right? Yeah. Whenever I found the best times to that you get to increase your, I guess, your completion rate for a lot of things is you get an accountability buddy, someone who takes the process along with you. Because even when you're studying by yourself, having someone with you, even digitally, can help create an environment like a classroom, right? And help you focus, I feel that. But, you know, let us know how you, what courses appeal to you. I would love to hear. We got a lot of good suggestions yesterday about books over WhatsApp. Let's see if we can carry that conversation on today.
Yes, absolutely. So it's interesting looking at Coursera's website, right? Because they do put there the most popular certificates that they have. They have a list of suggestions of free courses. And some of the most when you look at the most popular, you know, I noticed that on this list is things like deep learning, it's data science, it's Python, which is a coding language, it's Google IT support. So there's definitely a skew towards the digitalization, sort of the digitalization sector. And it kind of, I think, feeds into this idea that most of us will have to digitally upskill over the next couple of years if we want to keep our jobs, evolve into new into new career pathways.
Another course that I signed up for, another provider I signed up for is Domestika, because the ad kept flashing on my Facebook and it was something about drawing and it was so cheap, right? Something like $10. So I just signed up immediately because I cannot draw to save my life. And I can tell you something, the course was actually very interesting because the person was also interesting and he cannot speak English. So the thing is, there are subtitles. So it forces you to watch the video. You cannot just listen to it passively. So you actually have to watch the video and see what he's doing because you have to read the subtitles in order to understand it. So I thought it was probably one of the most effective courses that I actually signed up for online.
Oh, that's very interesting, Noel. And actually, while we're talking about courses, I've been doom scrolling. And I found Visualization for Data Journalism by the University of Illinois. So this is something I'm probably going to keep on my list here. But you know, I realized the other thing why I haven't committed to any of these courses, because it's about constraining myself, right? Now there's so many resources on YouTube itself or Skillshare or things like that I have been focusing on. And maybe I'll explore this in 2021, but I've learned a lot online as it is in 2020. And I'm sure you have as well.
Absolutely. So do let us know what kind of online courses you've been looking at this year. You can WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We're about to head into the 6:30 news bulletin now, and here to take you there, it's Still Rock and Roll to Me by Billy Joel, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanizan and Noel Lim. 6:38 in the morning, Thursday the 31st of December, and on this, the last day of the year, we are once again looking at what's been happening over on the international stage. And I think the focus for really the last couple of days has been on the US, where this issue over $2,000 stimulus checks to Americans has stalled in the Senate because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has refused to separate the $2,000 kind of upgrade from other unrelated demands from President Donald Trump.
Right. So if you are a little bit confused, I don't blame you, because I was as well. On Sunday, we heard that President Trump had signed the $900 billion stimulus package, right, which saw $600 being starting to be given out, I think, from yesterday evening or what would be this morning in the US. This $2,000 check is something that we've seen more pressure for. It's what Donald Trump wanted. It's what the Democrats want. But it looks like it's been packaged with other conditions, like the repeal of Section 230, which would put liability on the technology players for posts online and things like that, and a few other things. So basically, this bill is doomed to fail because the Democrats will not support the other two. Chuck Schumer, who is the minority leader of Congress or the House, minority leader of the Senate, has tried to, I think a lot of them have tried to pressure the policymakers to split up the bills. But Mitch McConnell has said, no, we're not going to do that. That's not going to happen. And it's because Mitch McConnell's not in favor. I mean, partially, I think it feels like Mitch McConnell's not in favor of the $2,000 stimulus checks, right? Because it's generally something Republicans, most Republicans have not been in favor of. I think the only four who voted were the two candidates for next week's Georgia runoffs, as well as Marco Rubio and another candidate, another Republican who's also slated to be a possible runner, presidential runner in the next election, 2024.
Yeah, so this is going to put many Americans in limbo because just looking at the numbers, right, I think just this year alone, unemployment benefits have been paid out to something like 14 million people. So, you know, it gives you an idea about, you know, we are talking about millions of people who are going to be affected if they don't get that checks boosted up to $2,000. You know, I've been listening to some podcasts and, you know, there are many, many families in America. You would think that's a first world country, right? But they actually live from hand to mouth and they really need those checks. I think not just to pay, just to pay rental. You know, we're still not even talking about food and all the other items. So, and I can understand where this problem is, right? The Democrats are pushing for more aid to go even to throw in more trillions of money, but the Republicans want to rein in on spending. So it's really, I guess it's a, you know, a difficult situation for the US.
It is. And ultimately, you know, it's the American people who are going to suffer the longer this is in limbo. So one hopes that they come to some kind of a deal soon so that it can alleviate what suffering there is. I found a subreddit over the past couple of days, actually, titled Unemployment. And a lot of the entries there are from the US. And really, it's quite a depressing read, honestly, because it's people who are talking about having lost their jobs, you know, the you know, losing their houses, unemployment, or continuing in their jobs even though they have no place to stay. It's very dire, certainly, and it's a snapshot of I think also the problems faced in certainly other parts of the world as well.
It's and although while $2,000 hasn't been approved and distributed, the $600 checks have been sent out. Right, the Treasury is working on that, so it's not to say that there's no money going out. And also, I mean, yes, the Democrats are more inclined to want. They're not as fiscally prudent as the Republicans have been in the past.
Conservative, yeah.
Yeah, prudent, conservative. When it comes to this, it's pretty much the same thing, right? So it's not that it's not like this was a surprise. The Republicans who jumped over were the ones who had a bit more of a longer stake at play. So they are also playing politics. But it's not just the US, right? Around the world, people are dealing with it in their own ways. And it's not easy. I mean, we can be hopeful for 2021, vaccine optimism and all of that. But the reality is on the ground, there are a lot of things going on.
Yeah, just looking very quickly at some numbers here. So I think Princeton University Eviction Lab, they did a study and they've been tracking so far in 27 cities, 162,000 evictions have been filed. And another estimate by the Aspen Institute, when they estimate it's something like up to 40 million people face the risk of eviction if you know, they don't get more support.
Yeah, and of course, also speaking of vaccines that you mentioned, Roshan, there has been some news out of China as well, the Sinopharm vaccine. Apparently, Sinopharm says its shot is 79% effective and is looking for it to be authorized for use in the general population. So, interim data showed that this vaccine, which is already authorized, by the way, for emergency use in China, that the vaccine is safe and those who took the shots in trials all generated high levels of antibodies. And it does also meet the minimum standard of 50% efficacy, which has been set by US regulators for emergency authorization of COVID vaccines. But of course, it's still not as great an efficacy rate as that seen from Moderna as well as from the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. So it remains to be seen, I guess, also which vaccine countries choose to go with.
Yeah, but also to note, it's because the Moderna and Pfizer ones are using the mRNA technology, right? Which is a different, it's more cutting edge and things like that. So that's why they've been able to produce it faster and have with a higher efficacy rate.
It's also unproven, isn't it? I don't think there has been an mRNA vaccine approved for general use before this.
Yeah, because it's new tech, right? We've never used it before, but they've done the research on their own. They have the efficacy rates there. It's just a different way of going about it. So yeah, it's been approved for emergency use. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah. So I think so far the UAE, they have approved the Sinopharm vaccine, and they claim that it's about 86% effective according to their own trials. And so, but, you know, looking at, in, I think earlier in December, Peru suspended trials for the Sinopharm vaccine due to some serious adverse events that were suffered by a volunteer. So I think, I guess it's still mixed results, and really the jury is out there.
Yeah, so this is something that we will, of course, be watching very closely, as Malaysia is also hoping to see some form of a vaccine come 2021. But do let us know what you think about this. You can WhatsApp us if you have thoughts, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up for you, and then taking a look at the front pages of our newspapers and portals. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Scar Tissue by Red Hot Chili Peppers, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. We have had a message in this morning from Ro, saying 2021, just looking forward to going to the supermarket without getting anything, apart from maybe a phone number. Interesting plans you have there for 2021, Ro. He's also wished us Happy New Year, and I think, the first person actually to wish me that, certainly. So Happy New Year to you too, Ro. It's certainly going to be, I think, a quiet one this year. No large parties certainly allowed. And that's the front page of The Star as well this morning. A homely affair.
Well, Ro, even if you go to the supermarket and don't get a phone number, you can always WhatsApp us over here at 018-789-8899.
Yes, you
already have a phone number. We're always happy to talk to you. But yes, now on to the local papers and portals, Lynn.
Yes, so as I was saying, a homely affair is the front page of The Star, because, you know, the government has forbidden any New Year countdown gatherings this year in order to flatten the curve. There's also a little bit of a headline on the bottom of the front page here. Life after COVID-19, it isn't easy for ex-patients. So this is continued on page 8 of The Star, and it's looking at some COVID-19 survivors, as well as the families of those who have unfortunately lost family members to the coronavirus. So, you know, it's unfortunately life must muddle on, right? And it's not easy for anyone involved, certainly.
Yeah, just taking a look at the reserve, and the headline isn't a great one, right? Because Malaysia's jobless rate is expected to remain high until mid-2021. And they were speaking with Datuk Shamsuddin, who is the Executive Director of the Malaysia Employers Federation. And this will all depend on how economic outlook looks like. And also noted that about every year, about 500,000 Malaysians enter the job market, which means next year, there'll be at least 1 million job seekers from 2020 and 2021. That's going to be one of the things that we're going to pay attention to. Yes, we have optimism and things like that, but it's important to also remember that there are undercurrents that are of real economic scar tissue, actually, that we'll see next year. On that note, though, let's look a bit of, I don't know, positive news, I think. In case you didn't know, Mohd MP Syed Saddiq is now bald. And that's because he helped raise 383,000 ringgit for a campaign to buy laptops for kids. The target was 200,000 ringgit. I remember seeing this on my Instagram 2 days ago. I thought he was joking around. He did it yesterday on live TV. He shaved his head, and he had a very nice head of hair.
Well,
just stunned silence in the
room.
Yes,
well, hair will grow back, yeah, so it's okay. And you know, such a noble cause, right? I know, to raise money for kids who have no laptops. How can they study?
We've talked about, right, Lynn and Noel, the fact that, you know, we can see all this digital disruption go on, but sometimes kids don't have the tools necessary. They go back to a home where there's only one computer, the three kids and a parent that needs to use the same computer. How do they learn? So I've seen some family friends do this as well, raising money to buy laptops. And you can get laptops for 1,000, 3,000, 500 ringgit, the Chromebooks and stuff like that. So it's good to see that people are using their influence and their popularity to get some of these things done.
Yes, so looking at the New Straits Times, so they continue to work on their expose of the meat cartel scandal. They're still pursuing this issue. So they've spoken to a few experts, and they also approached the Malaysian Muslim Consumers Association president, Datuk Nazim Johan. He said that the authorities must address loopholes in awarding the approved permits to local frozen meat importers. Dato' Nazim is rather concerned. He says the relevant authorities must investigate whether these AP holders are genuine importers and do not abuse the permits. Like, you know, we know with AP, this AP scandal, right? You know, where these import permits are actually given to someone else or, you know, outsourced to another party. And also, as far as we know now, there's a first court case. I think a meat distribution company and its two directors have been taken to court. And so I think the company is Rahina Cold Storage Sandiran Berhad. So I think this is the first court case that is up for trial. They have been accused of using a halal logo that was unrecognized by the authorities on its lorry. So basically a fake logo, a fake halal logo. And but on you know, some good news, I guess a bit nostalgic here. Penang, you know, if you recall, Penang announced that the ferry service will be operating. I think this today will be the last day of its operations, the car carrying ferry service. And so Prasarana noted there was almost a 50% increase in cars using that ferry service in the last 2 weeks since the announcement was made. I guess people are using that service because, you know, for nostalgic reasons.
This is like the A&W situation like 3-4 years ago, right? When they said they were going to close it, and then suddenly everyone's like, no, we love the A&W, and then they all started going back there, and now it's still there. You know, speaking of politicians using their influence, another thing I'm seeing here is Works Ministry promises to fix potholes within 24 hours. And in case you wanted to know why this is, a few days ago, Minister of Science, Technology and Innovation Kari Jamaludin was involved in an accident on his bicycle involving a pothole, and dangerous. It's a very dangerous situation because he was unconscious for a little bit. Looks like this has now caught the attention and they're launching the 24-hour fix campaign.
I swear to God, we should send Kairi to the whole of Malaysia to
just
fix all
him,
our problems.
Have him do a bicycle tour around the country. I'm sure he'll discover all the potholes there is, and the JKR will fix them as soon as they can. Well, it's good to see that they're taking some action on this, and we will watch this space for more updates. But right now, we are heading into the 7 o'clock news, and here to take you there is I Want You Back by the Jackson 5, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.